Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Episode 6 of USA Unsolved. Something I've noticed while looking into missing and unsolved murder cases is that there usually is not a lot of information. There are so many profiles online, but attempting to find more information is almost impossible. You sometimes have one photo, one or two dates, and a very brief description of the circumstance. It's unfortunate because with so few details, it's really difficult to put the information out there. So while I have a good list of people I want to cover, the reality is that less than half of them have sufficient details to go on. Just wanted to let that be known, so you understand how I'm going about selecting cases. So today we will be looking at the case of a missing man from California. The fact that it's been years since he disappeared with zero updates does not bring any relief to his loved ones. But again, anything is possible, right? Let's begin. The man we're looking into today is called Jerry Tang, who, according to sources, is a Taiwanese-American man. He was born on January 17, 1966, in Massachusetts, and lived there till he went off to university in Pennsylvania. During his time in university, he met his girlfriend, Joyce, who later on became his wife. The two eventually moved to San Francisco, California. Jerry had two siblings, Audrey and Austin, who also lived in and around the area at the time of his disappearance. The Tang family was on good terms. His parents were both present during their childhood, and once Jerry's parents started to get up there in age, they also moved to California. They settled into a local retirement community in order to be closer to their children. Jerry and his wife, Joyce, eventually had two children, born sometime in the late 1990s and early 2000s. Jerry, at the time, worked in a small tech startup in San Mateo County, located about 20 miles or 32 kilometers south of San Francisco. The technology industry had already started booming in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 1990s, and it eventually was said to have dominated the region. But if anyone has ever been involved in a startup, you probably know how difficult it can be. Long hours, a lot of investing, waiting for it to generate revenue. It's not for the faint of heart. Perhaps due to his work stress or other factors, Jerry unfortunately suffered a stroke around the year 2003 or 2004, when he was still in his late 30s. This is very young to suffer a stroke, as it most commonly occurs when you are in your 60s or older. Only about 10% of people in the United States experience this at 50 years or younger. It was said that although his stroke was not life-threatening, it was still a concern. After going to the doctor, he was put on seizure medication to control his condition, as he became prone to seizures since his stroke. Despite medication helping, Jerry was not a fan of it and constantly skipped taking it. It reportedly made him feel disoriented. We hear about this quite often with medication. While yes, it does help your medical condition, it's almost impossible to not suffer some type of side effect that will make you reject said medication. Jerry's wife was not happy that he skipped it, but as Jerry was a grown adult, it was ultimately his responsibility to decide how he wanted to treat his condition. The stress from work also did not help with his condition, and once coupled with his medication, it made him reject his meds even more. Jerry, despite working long hours and suffering from seizures, was ultimately a family man. He was known to care for his family and friends. He was said to be soft-spoken, not at all aggressive, and very gregarious with a good sense of humor. He was also the type of person to keep in touch with his family, which is something we mentioned quite a lot in our past cases involving other victims. So, what happened to Jerry, and what are the circumstances surrounding his disappearance? Jerry was said to have been last seen at around 8 a.m. on Tuesday, November 29, 2005, near his home on Ashbury Street in San Francisco. His wife had left for work, and the two last spoke on the phone at around 10 a.m. During this time, Jerry had been doing some work on his computer at home, but about an hour and a half after that phone call, he logged off and left his residence. Where he went was a mystery, as he did not notify anyone he was going anywhere. That might not be weird in and of itself, but there are a few things of note. First of all, it was said that Jerry was suffering from depression around that time he went missing, which could have been brought on by work stress, financial stress, as well as his health condition. Secondly, he called into work sick that day, so of course, he wasn't going into his office. Lastly, he reportedly had a doctor's appointment that day as well, but had also called in to cancel his appointment, saying that he wasn't feeling well enough to go. If he had decided to stay at home, that would be one thing, but Jerry was said to have left his home anyway at around 11:30 a.m., and it was believed that he had been carrying his mobile phone, probably because it was not found anywhere in his house. He also left with his keys and wallet, but neither his phone, bank cards, or credit cards have been used since the day he disappeared. He did not take his medication with him. I cannot be sure when it was discovered that Jerry was officially missing, but I would assume it took place later that day when his wife attempted to call his mobile phone, but he never picked up or went to voicemail. Once the police got involved, they searched the neighborhood and checked with the community for any sightings of Jerry Tang. A few people did call in to report a man who matched Jerry's description, quote, sitting forlornly on a Golden Gate Park bench in a downpour, unquote. While you can associate this park with the famous Golden Gate Bridge, the two are actually not right next to each other. There's about a 2-mile distance between the actual park and the bridge, and the reason I mention this is because the theory of suicide. Those around Jerry were aware of his depression and stress, and for those that aren't familiar, Golden Gate Bridge is known as a suicide magnet where approximately 30 suicides take place every year. It's well known to the point where officials have constructed a continuous stainless steel barrier on both sides of the bridge to stop people from jumping off. Some say it clashes with the bridge's aesthetic, but I would like to believe suicide prevention is quite important in this case. Jerry's family and friends were extremely worried. Some friends flew in from around the US and the world to join efforts in finding Jerry, including looking into homeless shelters and encampments, bus stops, putting up flyers and banners, and checking the beaches. The local community was also made aware of Jerry's situation, and strangers began to help as much as they could, including a private investigator who volunteered his services pro bono. A $10,000 reward was announced as well for anyone who could provide leads to Jerry's whereabouts, but nothing ever came from that. One thing that needs to be mentioned is the fact that Jerry was an adult. Technically speaking, an adult is free to leave whenever they want, and it can be very tricky. How do you know they didn't just walk away and leave everything behind? And if that's the case, that is their right as an individual, right? I can't say what made Jerry's disappearance notable to the police, but I imagine his decisions to not go to work, the witness reports of a man in the park, and his history of depression and illness could have contributed to it. What could have happened to Jerry? We already mentioned the suicide angle. Could Jerry have perhaps decided to end his life due to everything going on in his life? Could he have been the man that people saw sitting in Golden Gate Park? It's unknown where this man went to after being spotted at the park. There are many lakes in the park as well, and officials have searched both the park and the bottom of the lakes, but nothing turned up. If not suicide, could Jerry have left voluntarily just to escape his life and distress? Some of Jerry's friends and family believe that he could be suffering from either amnesia or, quote, an altered thought process triggered by another stroke or seizure, unquote. Their hope is that he was still alive, but could perhaps be confused and lost, eventually adding himself to the San Francisco homeless population. This is the reason why people were searching bus stations, shelters, encampments, etc. Some of the sightings reported include a tall Asian man with a shopping cart in the downtown area, one in line to get food at the St. Anthony Foundation, one lingering by the bus terminal. With all these sightings reported by others, it kept Jerry's family and friends going, hopeful that Jerry was indeed sighted, and hopeful that he was still alive. Jerry was a churchgoer, a family man, a good friend, and a dutiful son. At the time of his disappearance, he was believed to have been wearing a blue jacket, blue jeans, and brown shoes. Jerry stands at around 6'1", or 185 centimeters, and weighs around 160 pounds, or 73 kilograms. Due to the large population of Asians in San Francisco, the SFPD website is also available in Chinese, where his missing information is also posted. At the time of his disappearance, Jerry's father had noticed that Jerry had become, quote, very weak and tired, unquote. Aside from the police, they have also reached out to psychics and mediums, and most have said that they pictured Jerry on some street, in a garden, or on a beach. I know many people do not believe in psychics, but in desperate situations, I can imagine reaching out to as many people as possible for the hope that someone out there can be of help. As Jerry's father stated, quote, I am trying to generate some hope, unquote. If you or anyone you know happen to be around San Francisco at that time, or even now, please keep an eye out and notify the police with any information you may have. I will leave the SFPD contact information in the show notes as well. Thank you all for your time. Be safe, and till next time.